Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Let me just say this, by the way, that any recipe that includes the following phrase, cut off the excess windpipe.
Please don't read the rest of that.
That wouldn't happen with a tofurkey. It really wouldn't. Oh, man. No. Hey, so we were just talking about Thanksgiving. So we got Thanksgiving coming up next week. Now, you know that because we care about you more than other talk show hosts do, we're going to be here live next week doing our show on Thanksgiving live, as we always do, because Rick Emerson cares. 2 years ago it was tofurkey. Last year was tofurkey and corn, which Matt wouldn't eat because he's a sissy. This year, tofurkey.
Wasn't going to eat fungus.
Dude. Corn.
It was good.
You eat fungus all the time. You eat cheese. That's what I thought.
Yeah, but that was like fungus that I wasn't going to eat.
Okay, I'm just saying.
What are you
going
to do, man?
It was really good fungus.
This coming Thanksgiving, we're going to be here next Thursday doing our Thanksgiving show live, as is our want. We'll have tofurkey, corn, and I believe we're going to be doing some deep frying. The kids are apparently all down with the deep frying of the turkey. Because there's nothing Americans like better than taking something that's inherently healthful and good for you and rolling it in breading and soaking it in beef tallow for 15 hours.
You don't actually roll it in any breading or anything.
You just soak it in oil. It's just the oil saturated.
It's hot oil. It sears the outside and seals in all the juices. It's not oily and it's not greasy in the turkey.
It's oil. Of course it's oily. What are you talking about?
It's really not. When the turkey itself does not come out oily or greasy.
All right. Well, in any event, that's next Thursday. We're going to be doing our annual live Thanksgiving show, if you want to be listening for that.
I can't find the corn anywhere. I asked in the store. Somebody tried to bring me
to
the canned corn aisle.
No, not corn. Corn.
Yeah, then I spelled it for him, and he goes, well, that's really F.
No, there's that, what is that? It's at New Seasons or Nature's or...
Or no,
new,
it'll probably
new
have to be
grains
dangerous.
Or new harvest. It's like 15 different health food stores. But it probably as we get closer to Thanksgiving, they'll have it. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and our 1-800-727-5955. It's a Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon. We want to thank Jason and Curtis, who are here doing some filming of us, making a documentary about talk radio in America. And
is this for filming E! True Hollywood Story?
Yes, the day that it all went wrong. The filming the goings-on and happenings of American Talk Radio, so we want to thank those guys for being here. Coming up this hour, How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Later on, we got today's top five biggest-selling American albums of all time. This is from Todd. Rick, what about Storm Names? Panic in Portland, 2003. The Great White Death. Flakes of Fury.
Flakes of Fear, I kind of like.
3/16 of an Inch of Doom. Portland in Peril, or The Day Local News Had a Wet Dream. Todd, F. Matt with Michael Jackson's harrowing, ashen, imploding visage.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Excellent. Well done. It's all coming up. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I thought I was getting a frostbite out there earlier. Well, I was waiting for the show to begin because I was up front. But I'm not the only problem with, this Russian teenager ended up with frostbite after turning to the freezer after burning her mouth on a hot drink. So they're lucky enough to have hot drinks in Russia now, anyway. The 13-year-old girl had panicked after scalding her tongue while drinking tea. So, she opens the freezer, places her tongue against the interior door to cool it down, but her hot tongue quickly gets stuck to the appliance. Because she was alone at the time in Northwest, Russia, I guess when you call 911, nobody responds. She had to wait for her parents to return from the salt mines where they were. She was still face down when they walked through the door sometime later. Her frantic parents called for an ambulance after trying to pry her tongue loose. The paramedics managed to free the girl, but discovered she had suffered severe frostbite of the tongue.
I was, I remember I was about, I don't know, 12 or 13. I mean, everybody, it's the whole Christmas story thing. Everybody's seen that happen. But it's one of those things that you think, like, wouldn't you think that just... the evolutionary nature of man would be such that we would eventually raise a generation of kids who don't go sticking their tongues on cold metal things, you know, when it's like December. But I think it's one of those things you eventually learn. You know, it's like dumb kids don't, you know, dumb kids you think would get killed off early enough that they don't grow up to have stupid children of their own. But no, I remember waiting for the bus. I'm like 12 or 13, and it's like we had this, my friend's Gabe and Lenny. down the street from me, we all waited for the bus together. And it was somehow decided at some arbitrary point that we had to wait in front of their house, not the other way around. So ever my brother and I would walk like a block every day, wait in front of Gabe and Lenny's house for the school bus to pick us up and take us off for the day's incarceration. So there we are in front of their house. It's like December. And, I grew up in Kennewick. It's just like butt-clenchingly cold. You know, it's like 190 degrees below zero, plus wind chill. It's just terrible. And so they got this fence that goes around, and then they got the fence post, right? And on top of the fence post are those little, like little balls. You know what I'm talking about? Like little fence post tops.
The little metal, tops.
Little metal post tops. And it's like, what do brothers do? Brothers just spend their entire childhood trying to kill one another. That's what it is. That's the nature of having a brother, is you're trying to become an only child. I have this thing that everybody with siblings just lives in this state of advanced bitterness that they have to share, their room, their toys, their food, what have you, with a sibling. And so they spend their entire childhood trying to kill off the brother. And so what does Gabriel do? Gabriel, who's 2 years older, but like 10 times as smart as his younger brother, Lenny, takes out a dollar and says, hey, I'll give you, except he had this weird, it wasn't a hair lip, but he had this speech impediment. So it was like, hey, I'll give you a dollar and put your mouth around that. And he had that like a retainer or something. I'll give you a dollar and put your mouth around that. Lenny, all right. And Lenny takes the dollar, opens up his mouth, and I'm not just saying the tongue. I'm saying the full mouth. Like, do you ever have that thing where you ram a fudge sickle into your mouth? Imagine that it's not so much a fudge sickle, it's like a big metal ball on top of your fence post in Kennewick in, like, December. Lenny, all the way around there.
That's the same thing Michael told the little boys.
Why you gotta do that? Why do you gotta start taking it down pedophile lane all the time? What is it with you?
It was there. It was
weird
just,
compulsion.
It needed to be said.
It didn't need to be said by anyone. You broke the narrative flow of my story. All right. I was just going to say.
Is the story over?
No, it is now. But I'll just say now is a sad coda to the story. So Lenny sticks his whole mouth around the little metal ball thing, immediately cementing all of his wet flesh to the little ball. And then, of course, man, just like it was, just like Jerry Bruckheimer timed it out, then immediately over the horizon, school bus coming. And then there's Lenny with his whole face like glued to the metal thing. And so it's like the bus is, we're all like, Lenny, the bus is here. And of course, Lenny turns, and he can't quite even turn to see the bus because his face is all glued to the thing. And so what do brothers do? They're there to help you out. Gabriel, hand right on the back of Lenny's head into his hair. Whoa! Right off the fence post. Yeah, baby.
Did his mouth just, did it just come off?
All I heard was just a hideous tearing, ripping sound.
Oh. His lips bleeding.
Lenny stayed away from,
left.
Lenny avoided salty foods. He went on a bland diet for the rest of the week. Good times. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
Well, listen to this. A vodka-drinking competition in a southern Russian town ended in tragedy when the winner died and several runners-up ended up in intensive care.
Well done.
It lasted 40 minutes. After the winner downed 3 half-liter bottles, he was taken home by taxi but died within 20 minutes. 5 contestants ended up in intensive care. Those not in the hospital turned up the next day for another drink. Russians drink the equivalent, get this, of 15 liters of pure alcohol per head annually, one of the highest rates in the world. Well, it's a cure-all. It's like their Tylenol and everything.
It's like Dr. Sudafed. Pemberton's pick-me-up or something. It's like your family with, whatever it is. Like, growing up, I know different families have different cure-alls, but, like, for some people, it's milk of magnesia. Some families are all with the Robitussin, where it's like, Robitussin cures everything. My mom could cure everything with Vicks VapoRub. Doesn't matter what it is. Broken leg. You get brain tumor. Little Vicks VapoRub there. My cousin, I didn't want to talk about it.
But anyway, 1 in 7 Russians is an alcoholic. So
here's what they tried to do. So congratulations on achieving something. Here's what they tried to do in Russia to stem the drinking problem. They tried to do, because I don't know how much, what is a bottle of vodka cost here in America? Sarah?
Well, I get the cheapest stuff, so it's about $9.
So like,
that's
nine,
like Absolut, vodka. I think, is about like 16.
What is that, like a pint or a fifth?
A fifth.
Okay, so a fifth of vodka costs like $10. They had this whole thing in Russia where people were just drinking themselves blind constantly. And so the government's brilliant answer to this was to raise the price of vodka by like 1,000%. And so they raised the cost of a bottle of vodka went up to like $75 U.S. I mean, it's just incredibly expensive, right? And so did this stop people from drinking vodka? Yes. People just then began drinking brake fluid, Sterno, lighter fluid. At one point, they talked about there was some missile silo, right? There was a missile silo, and they were trying to do like a missile silo test, like, you know,
this is a test of the Russian bombing the rest of the free world system. If this had been an actual,
but they couldn't get the bay doors to open because all the hydraulic fluid had been drained out because, you know, some drunken Russian wasn't able to buy any vodka, and so he just decided to drink the hydraulic fluid out of the bay doors of the bomb, you know, the missile silo. So there's lessons learned for the Russian people.
So just moments ago, Bush was at a state dinner with the Queen, the royal family at Buckingham Palace, we imagine. I don't know if you heard about the scandal earlier, but a reporter from the Mirror managed to get a job there, and he claimed he had access to the bedroom where Bush was staying, and he was about to serve Bush a breakfast before he was caught. So that was a reporter for the Mirror. Did you read that today?
No, they said that they were going to try to embed reporters. Same thing they're doing in Miami. They were trying to take reporters from the Brit newspapers and try to embed them with the protesters outside. But of course, nobody's seeing the protesters outside because they've totally taken a page out of the LAPD's handbook. Because remember, there was in 2000, the Democratic convention was in L.A., and they had this whole section cordoned off for the protesters, and it was presumably for the protesters' own good, so they'd be able to have, like, this peaceful place where they're not going to be screwed with by the man, but it was, like, 70 miles away. It was like the DNC was gathering right here, and the protesters were, like, in Oakland or something. It was, like, someplace, you know, like 40 miles down the pike. So.
Well, they did the same thing when Bush came here, when he went to the University of Portland. They fenced them all in. Like a big chicken coop. It was like the chicken coop of protest. Yeah. They could only get with... Anyway.
The protests are all shoved into some veal fattening pen downtown, and Bush is at an estacada. Yeah.
So this just happened moments ago. The Queen toasts Bush and makes a little joke, and Bush giggles as he always does.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome you and Mrs. Bush to London. Visits by American presidents have been memorable landmarks in my reign. Unlike in the United States, the British head of state is not limited to 2 terms of 4 years.
It's funny because it's true.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Well, the third time might be the charm for the sexy Victoria's Secret models who are ready to strut their stuff across U.S. television screens in their underwear. CBS says none of its affiliates have declined to broadcast the third annual Victoria's Secret fashion show despite protests from the Parents Television Council. That watchdog group said it asked the affiliates not to air the program. Like, that's going to work. The organization complained to the FCC about last year's show, claiming it violated decency standards. There's been no ruling. A handful of CBS stations declined to air the show last year. And let's see. They said, CBS says the program is provocative, but it's not it. 10 o'clock, that's Britney Spears' time.
It's difficult for me to imagine who really watches the Victoria's Secret television special. I mean, it's just got to be, it's got to be nothing but 13 or 14-year-old boys whose parents have got the clamp down on the internet access. No grown man, because I don't care if the babes are hot or not. It's impossible to feel manly while sitting in your chair watching the Victoria's Secret special. You know what I mean? There's just nothing masculine about that at all.
They've totally been whoring that as much as Britney's new album, though. Like, Tyra Banks and Britney hosted TRL yesterday. I wouldn't actually know that.
Britney, no, I know it. I was watching part of it. Britney seemed to be a little speedy, though.
I think she discovered the wonders of cocaine yesterday.
That's an allegation, of course, being made by Sarah Dillon. I would never make any such claim about America's pop princess. I'm just saying that
you said it, too.
I'm just saying she seemed a little jittery, and she did that thing where she was kept fooling with her hair. But you know, the people that are speed freaks, yeah, they're always just, it's like they're always looking for nits or something on their head. So, it's not like I'm going to talk, but she had a little bit of the gut going on there, but like no one told the person who was designing her outfit. So she had those jeans that are way down low and the shirt that's way up high and then the gut that's kind of sticking way out front and whatnot.
She has a gut already?
Nah, it's just, because she's been, like you said, speaking of the mirror, you saw those pictures of her in Britain where she comes and she's got the big old bags under her eyes and she's coming out of, some club or whatever at 4 a.m, so, anyway.
Well, Burt Reynolds guest stars as Dr. Mike's overbearing father on the all-new Ed. Meanwhile, Ed tries to impress Carol, who's Julie Bowen, with a tribute to his future bride. Burt, talk about being offered the role of Mike's father.
Somebody said they would be interested in you playing one of the main characters' father. And
Burt Reynolds on his deathbed?
Sounds like
the
Jimmy Hoffa.
Father. Okay. And then I read it.
Burt was actually in that vodka drinking contest in Russia yesterday.
Yeah. It sounds
where,
like.
That's where we got the cut.
Bad for Burt.
And that was 19 seconds. It seemed like a lifetime. Here's one that's a little bit shorter. Burt, what makes Ed a special treat?
good writing, good acting, all those things, and be a pleasure to do is, you know, it's. I'm talking myself into probably getting no check at all for this work. I don't even pay that son of a b**ch. He's having too good a time.
I don't even understand what he's talking
about.
What
was the answer to that?
I don't even know what question he was responding to.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be hearing what triggered that.
Jesus. All right. Well, there you go. There's someone claiming to be Burt Reynolds. Okay. I got no... If you put, like, in a blind taste test, then I have no idea who that was. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later this hour, How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Later on, we got today's top five best-selling American albums of all time. You more of your phone calls. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Here's Rob Halford. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
124, I'm Tim Riley. It's a squishy, feel-good chick flick for the holidays. Love Actually is now playing. It explores the various ways people fall in love, out of love, and suffer from love. Laura Linley is one of the stars. She plays a woman infatuated with a co-worker.
She has a few things going on. She has a phone that never stops ringing, and you find out later on in the movie who's on the other end and why that is so distracting. She's handling a job. She's alone. She has a crush on someone who she seems to be quite willing just to keep that crush to herself, but it gets dragged out. And then the consequences of a possible romance.
Now, Michael Jackson still hasn't turned himself in to face child molestation charges, but we do have a statement issued from his spokesman that says, quote, "The outrageous allegations against Michael Jackson are false. Michael would never harm a child in any way. These scurrilous and totally unfounded allegations will be proven false in a courtroom. Naturally, the implications are distressing to everyone who hears them. We are disturbed by the levity of the environment surrounding the announcement of these serious charges. When the evidence is presented and the allegations proven to be malicious and wholly unfounded, Michael will be able to put this nightmare behind him."
Yeah, thank you.
That's that.
Appreciate that.
So, we have a snow advisory to break for the Portland metro area, the lower Columbia Basin, the I-5 corridor into Cowlitz County, into that land of all those rivers we can't pronounce in Washington. And it's going to rain if it's not going to snow. I'm Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, I'm starting a Michael Jackson cover band called The Twisted Nipples. See, you don't... I just work to get the image out of my head, and then there it just comes flooding back.
You're the one who keeps bringing up nipples.
I'm going to go... So to speak.
You should go for more understated than that. Call it Smooth Criminal.
I'm going to go back to reading about haggis. Rick, many years ago, I talked my little brother into sticking his tongue down on the refrigeration unit in the meat section at Safeway.
Yeah.
See, this is... Anybody, you see out there, if you're an only child or something, you don't have any siblings, you don't know what you're missing out on. You don't know, you're missing out on all of these, these are all little rituals of life that you gotta go through if you have a brother or sister. I thought it was funny, but my mother wasn't down with that in a big way. That's the whole thing. If you're out there right now, you're a parent, you're thinking about becoming a parent, you got one kid, or you're planning on having two children or something, you gotta start, like, buying insurance now and putting aside, just start stockpiling Curad bandages, as we speak. Because your children, especially, I don't know if girls do the same thing. I mean, my mom and my aunt used to get into it all the time. My mom actually, on the back of one of my mom's arms, I forget which one it is, my mom's got this big-ass scar on one of her arms because she was, I don't know, she was like 3-4 years apart from my Aunt Mary, who was a pretty terrible person. My Aunt Mary used to, I think, was a pretty raging alcoholic and used to hide all of her booze inside Avon Elvis decanters. You know what I mean? Those big Elvis, and it's kind of hard to become any more trashy than that. But she would just hide, like, hooch around the house in those big decanters shaped like Elvis's head. Anyway, but my mom at one point was having some big row with my aunt about some guy. You know, they're fighting about some man. And my aunt, and you can see the ending of the story coming a mile away. My aunt's sitting there, and she's ironing the clothing. And my mom makes some, you know, like, makes some crack about the guy or something. And my aunt, without even missing a beat, just picks up the iron right on my mom's arm. Right there. It's like a big, it's like a big iron-shaped thing right on my mom's arm to this day. What was I talking about? Nobody knows. Oh, anyway, so my point was, I don't know if girls are the same way, but if you got boys or something, you got to know that that's going to be the case. Like, I used to, man, I got off light, though. I mean, the stuff I did with my brother, my older brothers, because there's a big age gap. My oldest brother's a lot older than I am, so there's three, you know, brothers, and then a sister, and then myself, my younger brother. But the older brothers were a lot worse. My brother David actually has this weird scarring on the inside of one of his palms, because my brother Wayne got a hold of some really large and powerful explosive fireworks. And, of course, when you're like seven, you'll do whatever your older brother tells you. So Wayne just comes up and puts it into his hand with the fuse out. Just hold this for a second. You know, and trucks away. Wile E. Coyote style. So there's Dave holding the, you know, right there. Right after the emergency. And, of course, my mom, my parents both working in the medical field. My mom being a nurse. My mom wouldn't take you to the hospital for anything. Like, if your head fell off, she might take you to the ER, but that's about it. You weren't going to the hospital for any. You break both your legs and take off your face in a belt sander. It doesn't matter. You were staying at the house. And so, you know, what happened? Wayne tried to blow off my fingers with a firework. Well, let me know if it happens again. You know, then my mom goes back outside to, you know, to pick snap beans or something. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up this hour, we've got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Later on today's top five best-selling American records of all time, as we continue to talk about Michael Jackson. More on that. I got a big pile of stuff from E that we're just going to kind of get through here. Oh, yeah, we've got tickets for Bad Santa, that Billy Bob Thornton thing, that new movie where he's all with the drinking and the hey-hey.
Yeah, they're actually for tonight.
They're for tonight. Okay,
it's
so...
Yeah,
it's an advanced screening.
Screening.
So we'll give those away here in a short while. So I got a big pile of crap I'm going to get to. Otherwise, we're just going to get behind, and it's going to join the ever-growing stack of things that I've tried to get to and failed. Michael Kamen died. If you know who Michael Kamen is, you know, you're part of it. Michael Kamen's a guy who scored... He arranged The Wall for Pink Floyd. He also scored Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, Robin Hood, X-Men, Band of Brothers. He did all of Queensryche stuff. So he snuffed it. I don't know, I guess 2 days ago. Isaac Hanson, he's like the middle Hanson kid or the oldest Hanson kid, checked into a New York City hospital for an undisclosed matter rehab. Korn is releasing their new album. This is interesting. Korn is releasing their new album, Take a Look in the Mirror, this Friday, since a new songs have been made available on file sharing services on the internet. So apparently it's been like 9 months early or something. All right. So we're going to put that in the pile of things I've done. That's going to be put in the pile of things I've gotten to that I don't need to worry about not having gotten
to. So one. 748.
So that's one, yeah, one of 9,000, one in a limited series of 9,052 things I've gotten to. The new Beatles album has come out. This is the worst idea in the history of bad ideas. Did they put this Beatles album, this Let It Be? I was standing in line, let me just tell you a little story about me. So there I'm standing in line in the Fred Meyer last night, and it's got all these ideas that are constantly coming to me about things I need to talk about. So I take out my legal pad while I'm standing in line at Fred Meyer, and I'm jotting down notes to myself, and I've decided we need to have a new section of the show just called Random Crap Inside of Rick's Head. Because otherwise it just sits there and it just piles up and it's just going to lead to like an embolism inside my brain one of these days. But did you ever do this? Did you ever stand there in line at the supermarket and for no readily apparent reason you're embarrassed by the things you're buying? It doesn't even matter. It's not like you're buying, you know, it's not like you're buying, you know, whatever, like a disposable camera and rubbers and a summer sausage or something. It's just whatever it is. And so last night I'm buying like a box of Triscuits, three cans of tuna fish, and like some deodorant. But I'm just overwhelmed by embarrassment as I'm putting it on the conveyor belt for reasons that I couldn't explicate even now.
Well, I always do on Hawthorne because I buy the prepackaged salads and just things that are so bad for you. And the people in front of me have like
their tofu.
They have like tofu and everything.
People in front of you are buying like a head of lettuce and like some vitamins.
And they're so wholesome and everything's like vegan. And
you're back there with the Red Baron 6,000 calorie pizza.
Heck yeah!
All right. Anyway, so I was sitting there last night, and they were on the cover of People magazine this week. They had a little blurb about the new Beatles album coming out, the new Beatles compilation album, Let It Be, which is the original Let It Be album, just stripped of all the stuff that Phil Spector did, because Phil Spector went back after the fact and did all this post-production on Let It Be, most notably on The Long and Winding Road, which is now... burdened down by this huge overweening orchestral business that Spector felt compelled to put on everything back in the 60s. And it's like South Park just, I mean, it seems like it was just a couple months ago. South Park was, they were doing that episode where Stan and Kyle break into, to Skywalker Ranch to try to steal Lucas's films back from him so he can't continue to rape and pillage my childhood like a Mongol horde. And they made the observation about the Beatles, and they said, you know, what if the Beatles went back and redid the White Album every couple of years? And it was just like 2 weeks later that McCartney, who must now be viewed as the evil mastermind behind this along with Yoko Ono, decided to put out another version of Let It Be, which is a terrible mistake, man. It's all, I'm all for putting out director's cuts and alternate versions and lost footage and whatnot. I mean, the only good news in the entire story is that they've decided to leave the original on the market for now. They haven't decided to just go in and take the original off. It's probably next. More bad news. Richard Donner told the Calgary Sun he's going to be doing another Lethal Weapon movie, which brings it to five! Two of which were good. You've got one. You've
please,
got one.
Please,
you've got
please
two.
Tell me Mel Gibson and Danny Glover aren't
no,
coming back.
No, of course they're coming back, because, you know, which begs the question, if Danny Glover was getting too old for this whatever crap in the first one. Like, how old is he now, man?
Doesn't he live in Portland?
He does. He's also, I don't want to make fun of Danny Glover. I went to see Danny Glover speak at a Michael Moore thing a couple years ago. I was like, it was for the 2000 election. And so Jella Biafra's there, and Eddie Vedder's there, and Michael, I think Michael Moore was there, and Nader, Danny Glover. And so Danny Glover, he comes out and he's reading his speech, right? And he's, you know, he's giving his whole thing, and he's just stammering and stuttering his way through it and just sounding terrible and just mixing up words, and sounds like he has only like a passing relationship with the English language. And it's one of those things where he's an actor. You figure he knows how to deliver things, but he's speaking so badly and so poorly that we start to become embarrassed for him, and we're all thinking in our heads what a tool he is, you know? And then he goes to introduce Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys, but instead he calls him Jello Kennedy. You know, and it was just so, and then we're all laughing, and then Danny Glover just stops and he goes, You'll have to forgive me, I'm dyslexic. And immediately we're all, oh! And then it's like the embarrassment followed by that we feel terrible for making fun of him. All right, we'll do this. We're going to come back. Jolie from the front desk around the corner with How Chicks Think. Later on today, we got today's top five best-selling American albums of all time. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk to Danny Cave again. Don't go anywhere.
Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. The email for Kristen, the newly single Kristen Fricana, continues to pour in. Rick, you bastard. I'm a grown man, for Christ's sakes. Look what you've reduced me to. I hate you. I'm 36, attractive, intelligent, witty, recently ended a long-term relationship. I'm a drummer in a band, and I look like a cross between Josh Charles from Sports Night and Christian Longo. Much like Mr. Longo, I also have no wife or children. I'm made for Kristen, and Kristen is made for me. Are you happy now, you sadistic pig? I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Please pass this along to Kristen, help her brother out. All right, there you go. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Coming up next hour, we got more updates on the Michael Jackson thing, and we'll get today's top five best-selling American records of all time. Subject line of this email is Evil Brothers. Rick, when I was 3, my evil older brother challenged me to a race, which was typical for us, but this time, the race was fixed. Me, 3, barefoot, running free, older brother jogging just behind me, the floor covered with metal tacks. My joys of actually beating my older brother in a race quickly erased by the pain of a full-tilt run through a field of tacks. Of course, this is all told to me now by my mother and brother, since I have blocked out the entire incident in my memory. F. Matt with a box of tacks.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Excellent. Well done. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. What a girl wants. good friend Jolie from the front desk. How are you?
Good, how are you?
The sisters do that to each other?
What?
The sisters torment each other when they're growing up?
Yeah, all the time. Especially when you have three.
It's not like a physical torment, though. You all aren't...
Oh, yes, there was.
You're not beating each other
there
with
was.
Sticks and rocks, are
yeah.
you?
Yeah, there was.
Because brothers... I can't even... We were talking about this the other day. You know, it's like when you're growing up, you have... Remember we were doing that... We had the story about rattlesnakes? About some guy that was bitten in the face by a rattlesnake or something? And Matt was saying that when he was growing up, they would just go find rattlesnakes. Although they didn't really know what they were, they just knew they were these snakes that made an interesting noise. And they would just go find rattlesnakes and hit them with sticks to make them
my
hiss.
My grandparents lived down in Klamath Falls at the time. And so, you know, it's like high desert down there, southern Oregon. Well, there was a lot of just like... rocky kind of desert area around their house. We'd go off and we'd go to like picking up rocks and stuff, looking under rocks, trying to find the snakes that made the cool noise.
Yeah.
We didn't know any better. We were dumb kids.
And that's the sort of thing that you could only survive when you're a kid, because when you're a kid, you've got some weird mystical force. Like, I used to do this thing where I would just kick my brother off the roof of the house for like... Which is, and the fact that we were even on the roof of the house is one of those things that only, like, once you hit like 11 or 12 years of age, you realize that that's, I mean, first of all, that there's nothing really interesting about going on the roof, and secondly, you don't bring your brother up in the house, because he was only like 7 at the time, and so I would just go, hey, I mean, it's such a stupid yet simple game, it's only slightly less advanced than that. You know that thing where you kneel behind somebody and then your friend pushes them over you? You know what I'm talking about? Well, except it was just me and my brother, right? So I'd have to go, hey, Jim, come up to the roof for a second. Hi! Well, there's something up there. There's something up there you should see. Okay. And so we would just clamber onto the roof of the house, and he'd say, where is it? And I'd go, right over there by the edge. Go take a look. And he'd go over to the edge and poof, just kick him right
up. You're mean.
Yeah, but it's funny even now. But it's
kids are
vastly entertaining
that
when you're kidding. That's what I mean. And he fell for it time and time. But you kicked me off the roof. I know, but there's really something up there now. Where? Right over there by the edge. I mean... That's what I'm saying, man. It's little pink houses for you and me. That's what a childhood is all about.
I think girls have more, instead of fighting a lot, they focus more on your things, and they'll break a lot of your things.
Really?
Instead of, you know, hitting each other.
Yeah.
Which they do, but
and they break
yeah.
it with curling irons, too.
I got my little stroller, my dolly stroller, broken.
Oh, no. Sorry. Let's see. Before we get to this, Rick, I was going to give you a verbal beating about the serenity of the many mentally retarded people and how their childlike behavior keeps just enough good in the world to stay the hand of the Almighty from wiping you and I and everyone else off the planet. But as I signed onto your site to send out this crap, I was stunned. Unfortunately, I have found that I am Matt Peterson's doppelganger. Good Lord, why could I not be a double for Tom Cruise or Sean Connery, damn it? I'd even accept looking like Lou Diamond Phillips, but no, I have to look like Matt. Excuse me while I sell my soul for some plastic surgery. You, Tim, Sarah, and the Freak all have a good day. F Matt with my mediocre looks.
This F Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
All right.
Well, he has to send in a picture now.
I know. All right. Today's question comes to us from Jim, and it's just a short question. It's a short question from the man we will refer to as Jim today. We were talking about last week, while you were gone, we had Corinne on the show, and we were talking about women who spring the I love you. You know, they out of the blue, they say I love you, and then it's like any trap, because you either have to say I love you too, or I feel
blue.
Very warmly towards you, or the worst of all possible answers, when the girl says I love you, and then you go, uh-huh, that's nice. Because then it's then your host.
I like you a lot.
I like you a lot. No, I think you're a great gal, too. And so this guy who we refer to as Jim wants to know what happens when the woman springs it on you surreptitiously. In other words, he's asking, what happens when the girl doesn't say, I love you? What are the signs? Because, you know, a lot of times it's like the, you know that she's already made that mental decision inside her head that she does, but she hasn't used those words. So he wants to know, what are the signs that a woman has fallen in love with you but hasn't told you yet?
There's a lot of things. Time obviously has to do with it. But basically when she's spending all of her time with you, which happens in a new relationship, when she does all these things for you that she wouldn't normally do for someone else, like go all the way across town and pick you up and drive you over to her house and hang out and drive you back home.
The actual phrase he uses is, how can you tell when a woman's turned serious on you? That's the actual phrase he uses.
Well,
and so the first answer, the first thing you look for is when she takes that one drawer in the bathroom and sets it aside for all her own stuff. And sometimes that happens without you even being, like, told about it. There'll be, like, the drawer in the bathroom or the drawer in the bedroom, and it's like you're rummaging around for socks or for explosives or something one day, and you open it, and it's just
right.
nothing but tampons and pink hair barrettes.
Well, it's like when you want them to come stay the night at your house and, you know, sleep over, because maybe her parents are at home or... something.
Well, no.
You gotta bring your toothbrush when you stay over.
No, but I'm all for...
And then, well, if you stay the night there instead of going over back to your house because you have to go to work, you gotta bring your clothes.
No, but I'm saying there's... Nah, you can tell, though, because you know what it is? It's like boiling the frog. You can tell when a woman is slowly starting to move into your place or slowly trying to get you to move into hers. And it's usually into your place. And it's just that stuff, like you'll notice that suddenly, like, your CDs are starting to commingle and be put together. That's the absolute final moment when you know that it's been sealed. When your CD collections have been merged into one. Or when you find things being taped on your television or on your VCR without you knowing about it. Like, you'll come home and your VCR is just running and it's taping something you don't remember, you know, and you turn it on and it's like a General Hospital marathon or like an episode of Newlyweds or something. That's how you know she's made the decision that
your
she's serious.
Your TiVo's been reprogrammed to her settings.
Dude, have you ever done this? You come home and there's food in the refrigerator that you didn't buy. You don't know where it came from. You would never purchase it yourself, and it's sitting right in there, and it's always like soy milk or something.
Yeah, but I've got two roommates, so.
Yeah, see,
but that happens when you're in relationships.
Makes it harder to watch those signs.
No, I'm not saying, but I'm saying, I think women make the decision that it's a relationship a lot faster than men do sometimes, and they don't
yeah.
always tell. This is the point I'm making. They don't always tell you. Sometimes it's like you're. Sometimes the guys. You know, perception of the relationship and the woman's perception. The woman can already be engaged with you at planning the marriage, and you don't even know that. You just think that she's some chick you hang out with occasionally. But you don't even know
you're dating.
Yeah, you think
she's just somebody you're sleeping
BS.
With.
Yeah, that's BS. No, it's not.
You think it's somebody you're sleeping with, and she's already picking out patterns.
That's the thing is, sometimes you are dating a woman, and you don't even know it, because she has flipped the switch in her head and made the decision that you're dating, that you're seeing it, that there's a relationship. And so I'm just saying there are things to, you know, there's things to look for.
You can't deny it.
You know that it's true.
Well, if she's spending a lot of time with you and you're having sex and, you know,
you
I mean, come
having,
on.
Could just
that's,
be having a lot of sex.
Yeah, but you guys need to just ask.
All right. I'm just
you
saying.
Know? All I right. mean,
yes.
The problem is most guys won't ask that question because as soon as you acknowledge it, she's automatically going to accept it. In most cases.
Right, because...
So if you just don't ask, you've never brought it up, it's never been discussed, you're not liable.
Exactly.
Oh, that's stupid.
No, guys, wait for it. Guys, you can't be held responsible for a discussion you've never had.
Well, exactly. Don't get
exactly
mad at
right.
us.
That's how guys are. Sean, you're on a cell phone. You're on Hot Talk to 90KF2K. What's up?
Well, about 8 months ago, I realized, I guess, I was dating my girlfriend when I reached under the counter to get a piece of reading material in the bathroom and... Not a box of Tampax.
Just put that without. And had your reading material also been removed?
Actually, the good reading material had. Everything
yes.
else was still there.
Yeah, so the spank material had been moved elsewhere in the house.
For some reason, the Playboys found their way to the garbage can.
Yeah, exactly with that.
I don't think we should have to ask. There's no reason we should have to ask if we're dating somebody.
Oh, yes you do. Well, you guys always complain and bitch about us. And, you know, I mean, if you just get to the point and ask, then there's not going to...
If anybody bitches and bitches about anybody, I think it's you on a daily basis.
Seriously.
Male species.
Hold on.
Well, you know, it's me against the world here, so...
Exactly.
Cut me some slack, will you?
Okay, Tupac, whatever you say. All right, there you go. So did you bring... Now, did you have the discussion with her? Did you bring up the issue of the moving your stuff, John?
I asked. I said, "Hey, where did my Playboys go?" She said, "Oh, I thought they were old. They were not a tissue," which was her excuse.
The women don't understand the notion of collecting, because if you subscribe to Playboy, you're not just a reader; you're a collector.
Oh, it's a collector, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You keep all of that stuff because we all have fond memories of stumbling into our grandfather's workshop, and there was like a big stack of. You know, like Playboys.
Isn't that how we all learned the early portions of our manlyhood?
Seriously. I mean, that's like, I remember my grandmother sent me down to the basement for a can of peas or something, and, you know, and I was just on that threshold of, like, you know, boyhood and manhood, and you walk down, and I'd never been into the basement before by myself, but she sent me down there for a can of peas, and I'm walking down the stairs, and my... the staircase into my grandfather's workshop had all these Playboy centerfolds that he'd taken out and, like, tacked up, you know, which is one of those things that I think guys quit doing at some point. You only really see that in, like, a mechanic's garage now. But he had all these Playboy centerfolds pulled out and tacked up, and I walked down, and it was, like, kind of getting deeper and deeper down into, like, concentric levels of fascination, and then I reached the bottom, and there was just this huge, it was like it was illuminated by a golden beam of sunshine from heaven, just this huge pile of magazines covered with, like, 30 years worth of dust. You know, and you kind of brush the dust off, and it says Playboy, and at that moment you know you've crossed, you've taken some discernible step into the next stage of your evolution.
Do you feel like Indy, you put the staff in place and it lit up the whole...
I put in the headstone, the headpiece of the staff of Ra in the map room at Tanis. Yeah, baby.
So did your grandma ever go down in the basement?
Got a bag of sand in my hand. If I can just switch with the... What?
Did your grandma ever go in the basement?
The funny part of the story is my grandmother ended up throwing all that stuff away as soon as my grandfather died. They didn't live together, but as soon as he snuffed it, she just threw away everything in the basement. All right, we'll be back with more. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We're also going to take the first three callers at 503-250-1080 for a pair of tickets to Bad Santa, courtesy of our friends at filmfever.org. First three callers at 503-250-1080 in Portland for a pair of tickets to see Bad Santa tonight with Billy Bob Thornton, courtesy of filmfever.org. Back with more on the way. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Dan Riley with you. It's brought to you by your friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company, on the western corner of Highway 217 and Shoals Ferry Road. Open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, or online at shaneco.com. The healing process has begun after Mother Nature blankets the area with snow, reports of 3 inches. In Clark County, PG now has 200 people, 66 crews working on line repair and tree trimming. The total number of customers without power has actually climbed since our last report to 32,000. The concentration remains on the east side of the service territory, as snow in the hills and higher elevations compounded with the problem by adding weight to trees and tree limbs. Add to that wet soil and the impact of wind over the past 3 days. They have every available PGE person out. So, some of the outages include Gresham, Boring, Estacada, Sandy, Welch's, Mount Hood, West Lynn, Gladstone, and Milwaukee. PCC is out of school now. Mount Hood Community College closes at 3. So, the snow advisory has been lifted for the Portland metro area. Tim Riley, KOTK News.